other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
We're talking dead authors today. Specifically, we're talking about the phenomenon when authors die and all of a sudden there's a rush to read their bibliography. This came up recently with Philip Roth. He died within the last year, I think, right? And there was lots of to-do about going to the bookstore and getting copies of Portnoy's Complaint and Goodbye Columbus and so forth. And
came up more recently with V.S. Naipaul.
It happens every time, right? It happens every time an author, a sort of a noted author dies. There's a run, or not a run, but like the sort of books rocket up on the bestseller lists and there's displays in bookstores with their books out there, which is some of the curious phenomenon, right? Why, and it happens with musicians too, less so with maybe sort of visual artists and sort of actors, whatever. There's a rush to consume the works of the recently deceased or dead artist. Why? Why do we do this?
I wonder if it happens more heavily, I guess that's a bad word for it, but with authors who die surprisingly.
Mm.
Like Roth was old. Nobody was shocked that he died.
Yeah.
But like, how about when David Foster Wallace killed himself? There was a mad rush on his books after that.
Definitely. And also something too about their relative place in the canon, I think, right? I think the canon definitely plays a role here. Roth and David Foster Wallace, both different places, but sort of have a place in like the established literary canon now. So all of a sudden it becomes this public outpouring of grief, and one manifestation of that is like, oh, go get their books and read them and pay attention to them. Yeah, I don't know. One thing I
wonder about it is, the people who are rushing out to buy this writer's books, are they doing it for the first time, or are they doing it because his or her death reminds them that they used to read this person's books and they just want to use this as a reason to, or this occasion gives them a reason to go back and revisit them?
Or never did in the first place. And now it's like, well, I should probably go check out this person. I've always thought I should, and now they're dead, so I guess I might as well.
Right.
I think for me, it's more that, where it's like, oh, this person, you know, people seem to think was important, and I've never read anything by him or her, so
yeah.
I know when I have participated in that, usually what I do is just Google, like, I did it with V.S. Naipaul recently, what's his best book? And I kind of poked around at the top hits and then picked one and gave it a shot.
Right.
You know?
Which you could have done at any time before he died. Right, so it's just like
the breath brought him to the forefront.
Right.
I don't sit around thinking about B.S. Naipaul all that often. So, you know, I don't know. But it's not, I didn't feel an obligation to do it. It was just a curiosity. I happened to be looking for something to read, and that, you know, his obituaries or celebrations or whatever happened to be the news of the day on the day I was looking for something. So,
yeah, after Roth died, we had a discussion about that, and Aaron, I want to bring you into this. I had never read Philip Roth before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily feel a need to when he died, but we started talking about it, and that's around the time that I learned Goodbye Columbus is so meaningful to you.
Yeah.
So I went, it took me a hell of a long time to find a copy of that in the, you know, I live in a neighborhood that has many bookstores. It was maybe the fifth or sixth store that I stopped at that finally had a copy of the book. I probably because there was a rush to go get his books when he died.
Right.
And then I read it and hated it.
He left that out. Okay.
So when he died, how did it affect you as like a regular reader of Roth? Did you revisit any of his books after he died, or was it just like you didn't need an occasion because you read his work so often anyway, or what? It was just for you, it was just like a beloved author dying, but
yeah, it didn't have the effect of, oh, I should continue reading more Philip Roth. Like, it's always kind of, that's a plan I have in the back of my head no matter what. It was more a sense of sadness that I was like, oh yeah, Philip Roth died. That makes me sad. And even though he was older and he retired from writing, so he wasn't doing it regularly anyway. It was mostly just doing interviews. He would give interviews with people and sort of give his thoughts on the world and politics and so forth. And that was mostly it. But I still feel sad about, I guess, the loss of that voice maybe or something like that. Or I don't know. Like, it's weird, you know, feeling sad when someone famous who you don't know dies is weird because you have a connection to them and it feels hard to take sometimes depending on how strong the connection is. But also it's like, well, I'm going to go to work tomorrow probably. Like, it's not going to really affect me unless I knew the person intimately or whatever. It's not going to wreck my day, or it's not going to wreck my life. It might wreck my day. It might make you sad for a day, but that's mostly probably going
to
be it.
Did his death give you the urge to go back and revisit some of your Roth favorites and then you just didn't?
Not so much. I do want to reread Goodbye Columbus in the wake of Dave Gate 2018, because I feel like I have to reevaluate that text, or I want to give myself a chance to reevaluate it. But I still want to read American Pastoral, never read that, and I want to read Sabbath Theater. There's a bunch of that I really want to get to that I just haven't in there they're just on the list.
Have you read over half of his books, would you say?
Oh, probably not.
Oh, really?
Maybe close to it, but I don't think I'm close to halfway. There's a lot of them. And there's a lot of the Zuckerman novels I haven't read. But I did pretty good reading the later half of his bibliography. I've chewed up a couple of those, which is good. And there's plenty to do. So that's one of the, I haven't collected at all or completely necessarily. So there's plenty still to do with him. So maybe that's part of why I didn't feel I need to revisit, because I still have so much to go in front of me.
Do we remember other author deaths that affected us?
That's a good one.
I was probably sad in a similar way when Vonnegut died.
Yeah.
I mean, he was old too. Yeah. It's not like I was expecting him to live forever, but you know, his work meant so much to me.
Yeah.
Especially in my younger days. And I think after he died, I may have reread a couple of his books. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That felt like a sort of similar kind of sense of like, this like icon is dead now.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I feel sad about authors dying.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, not that they're not human, but I don't know them.
Right.
You know, it might be kind of that's a bummer, I won't get any more from them. But that's the extent of probably my emotional attachment to it.
So when Vonnegut died, it didn't mean anything to you?
No, because I'm much more interested in what creators have done than what they will do. You know, I don't usually get hyped up for things coming out.
Mm.
I will get them when they come out if it's someone I've been following, but it's not like... You know, we talked on the last, on Book Hockey, we talked ad nauseum with Nico at one point about pre-ordering things and release dates ahead of times and things being delayed and how much that could, like, really upset him.
Yeah.
That's not, I prefer to take things as they come and evaluate them. And so there's no authors that I'm super rabid about.
Right.
You know, the closest to an author that I follow regularly is McEwen, but as we've established, I don't... It's not like I have a lot of expectations for his books.
Hmm.
I think it was a bummer when Vonnegut died, but I'm happy with so much of the books that he read that I didn't feel a sense of like, we're never getting any more Vonnegut. It's just we've got a lot and it's good, you know?
Actually, we've gotten a lot since he died.
Well, and so that was my...
Maybe we shouldn't...
My follow-up question is, what do you guys think about posthumous publishing? Because I think more often than not... There's some controversy around it because usually it's unfinished.
Yeah.
And if it's not unfinished, then it begs the question, well, did they not want it published? Was there a reason they didn't want it published? And is it just a cash grab for the estate?
Right.
I remember I got pretty excited over the Nabokov posthumous book. I wouldn't say excited. I got very interested.
Hmm.
And it was weird. But I remember liking it because they didn't try to make something. They didn't try to finish it, whoever the editors were. It was actually... Because it was a pile of index cards.
Oh, wow.
It was like notes for a novel. So the book republished all the index cards. And then there were the parts that had been written out were then included. So it was like a fragmented, it was almost more of a historical piece than it was a posthumous novel.
Right.
It was sort of like, hey, this is what he left behind. Check it out.
Right.
Which I liked. I think the Vonnegut stuff sort of feels like maybe... He had a reason for not publishing all that because I didn't read all of the stuff that's come out since he died. But what I did read sort of felt not as good.
Right.
I read whatever the first one was that came as like essays, right?
There was a very famous example of that recently with Harper Lee where
she's not even dead.
She is dead.
She wasn't at the time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
But she was infirm.
She was pretty non...
She was
not able to act for herself.
Right.
Whoever had power of attorney decided to put a book out.
Yeah.
I didn't read that book on principle, but apparently it was...
Yeah.
The whole thing was disgusting.
Yeah.
But you own it.
I don't think so.
Huh.
We can look.
Listener, check back.
Maybe someone gave it to me. I certainly didn't buy the book and I didn't read it.
Splice moment right here for truth.
Footnote. Brick does not, in fact, own that book.
Yeah. Wasn't there a bunch of Salinger novels that were going to be released, too, when he died? I think his estate was like, there's like 10 novels that he wrote that we're going to start publishing, and you'll never... have one of new Salinger, and it seemed pretty gross too. I don't know if you ever saw them necessarily either.
I don't think they ever came out.
But there was. Do you remember that being discussed?
I thought that was apocryphal.
Oh, really?
There is a big collection of short stories unpublished floating around the internet.
Mm.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
There was always that.
You can download illegally.
Somewhere there's a hidden trove of. I don't know if it was actually a thing or just like an urban.
Yeah.
Urban legend.
There was a documentary, and the end, they were like, the last thing at the end of the documentary was like, hey, just so you know, there's new Salinger coming out with a bunch of novels, so get ready.
Yeah, I don't want to read it anyway.
Yeah, it felt weird. But that was also, I want to say, maybe 9 years ago. So I don't think we ever saw any of those novels, whatever. Yeah, I find it weird too. But also, I wonder with more time if that will even out, right? If you today if they were like, oh, hey, this edition of Madame Bovary has an unpublished short story by Flaubert you can read. He'd be like, okay, cool, I'll read that. Like, that was published, it wasn't published during his life, and it was published posthumously. Be like, oh, cool, I'll check that out. So it's like, be like, oh, that's pretty good. You wouldn't feel, maybe you wouldn't feel as tied to it, be like, ah, that's...
Well, I think the amount of time matters.
Yeah.
If it's within a couple of years of the death, it feels gross.
Right. But eventually, yes, yes. And if time flattens everything.
Flaubert, it's like, okay, then that's, you know, one, his place is established.
Right.
And it's just, it's of historical merit.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that you could make that same argument for Salinger, but...
But you can make the argument easier in 75 years and be like, well, this is just all the stuff he's written. So let's like right. look at it yeah. and try and study it versus feeling like, ah, why?
It's more of an academic exercise.
Yeah.
Maybe there's public domain matters too involved with that.
Yeah, probably so.
But all those yeah. laws are being rapidly eroded. So
yeah,
I think we're going to see the end of public domain sooner than later.
Hmm.
You can thank the Disney Corporation.
Right.
In our endings episode, we should have talked about books like that, the unfinished posthumous novels, which I wouldn't be able to read a book whose ending has not been written and is not available to me, I don't think. But huh. I feel like Brick, you would have no problem with that.
We recently did.
It's
with Till All Be Gone in the Dark.
Yeah. I think that one was a little bit different because of its circumstances.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that it wasn't fiction.
Right.
You know, since that was like an investigative thing, it was sort of more of like here, you know, by nature of an investigation, it's laying out what you got and seeing what you missed.
Yeah.
And then they did a good job of framing it in such a way where it's like, here's a book where the author didn't write an ending. This is his son wrote an ending. It's like, well,
or right. there's no ending available.
Didn't that happen with who was it whose kids picked it up?
Bill Keen. Family Circus.
Maybe. There was an author whose children finished a book.
Hmm. Huh.
I can't remember off the top of my head who it was.
Yeah, that's weird. Kafka's last novel's unfinished, America, and it's really good. But at the end, you're like, oh, this is just like, something's missing here.
Yeah.
And it feels weird to put it down, and then there's back matter. It's like, oh, this is, you know, what we think would have happened, or here's what notes, you know, maybe revealed or whatever. And Kafka's an example where his entire literary output was posthumous, right? I think that all that stuff was discovered, eventually published.
Hmm.
I think, right? Or at least because he didn't, God, maybe I'm wrong about this. I feel like he left a note in his will, it said, when I die, like,
it was
burn all my stuff.
It was the dragon tattoo.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Steve Larson.
And apparently also J.R.R. Tolkien's kid has continued writing.
Really?
Continued writing those kind of books. I was thinking of the dragon tattoo guy.
Tolkien I can see a bit more because...
That's more of a world.
Yeah.
And going back. And I think the Dune guys, Frank Herbert, I think his kid writes in
I think
the
you're
Dune
right, yeah.
too. That's yeah. not the same as finishing a novel.
Yeah.
How about a living author whose death would affect you?
Hmm. Who's still alive?
Nobody.
I'm not sure there is one for me.
If Stuart Dybbuk died today, I would pull out Coast to Chicago for sure.
Totally. I would be sad if Dybbuk died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would be sad.
I think there's plenty of authors whose death would prompt me to read some of their stuff, but I'm not sure that it would be a sense of like obligation. It wouldn't be too much emotion attached to it for me, I guess.
Hmm.
But I guess with like Dybbuk, I'm maybe not expecting a whole lot more work. I mean, he's getting up there. He doesn't even put out books all that often.
Right.
But, you know, younger writers, like if George Saunders died, I would feel a loss in the work that he would have not put out.
Right.
But would have put out had he lived.
Right.
That were yeah. going to miss because he died.
Loss of potential.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Dybbuk probably is the number one for sure.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure about anybody else.
I mean, at some point, this just becomes a list of writers we like, but...
Right. Right. But they, with Dybbuk, I also will be shocked, right? I don't think he's old enough where I'd be like, oh, well, you know, he's pretty old and that happened. I think I'd be like, hey, he's still relatively youngish. I mean, he's not, how old is Dybbuk, do you think? He's like 65, he's in
his 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought I was younger than that.
This aligns with the discussion we had yesterday about whether we were talking about, like, at what point does somebody's death, is it tragic? Like, they died too young.
Oh, right.
Like, what's
right.
the age cutoff there? Yeah. I feel like Dybbuk is past that.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I think it was younger than that. So, yeah, I guess I would be, you know.
Doesn't mean you can't be sad about it, but.
No, but yeah. It wouldn't be like he was cut down in his prime.
Right.
Maybe.
Should we bring up Stephen King, too?
That will be.
I mean, he almost.
Stuart Dybbuk is 77.
Hit him wow. with a car.
Wow. I do think that Stephen King, when he dies, that will be one of, if not the last, like major author death that gets reported on the news or something like that, right? Where people actually like take a step back and are like, wow, Stephen King died. Like,
yeah.
Roth was close to that, and Stephen King might be the last one.
The public will
you
never
mean like
know.
Like the non-reading culture, like the.
that the world at large sort of notices the author died, right?
The public will never know when James Patterson dies. The books are going to keep on coming.
He already is dead. Like he's
writing from an iron lung, I think we've established.
Right. Cryogenic chamber, yeah. Next to Ted Williams' frozen head.
Yeah. His hand is just outside of the iron lung to sign contracts. So he's going to sign off on Elf Trap.
Propped up by a tuna can. His hand is
removed by a monkey wrench. That's one of my favorite moments of this recording session was Dave's reaction to the story about Ted Williams' head being frozen in the tuna can.
Oh, Jesus.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Brick, do you have any writers, maybe younger writers, whose deaths would...
No, I really don't.
No, okay.
No, I mean, not to be callous, sure. I just don't. I there's no guarantee, even for authors who I love all their books, there's no guarantee I'll like their next one.
Hmm.
Obviously, I don't want people to die, but I don't think I'd, you know, if someone's going to die, that just means that's the end of their body work, you know?
What about Aaron?
Yeah, if I died?
Well, I am looking forward to your death so that I can cursorily read one or two things that you accomplished with your entire life and then feel good about it.
Ouch.
I like flip through a story or two, then I'll move on.
Yeah.
Of course this episode was going to get dark.
But I, you know, I don't know. That won't be on Twitter, so maybe I won't notice. Wait, I haven't seen pictures of trash in a while. What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to die, Aaron. Not yet. Though, now that I know I'm in it for a $32 tontine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Probably start going to the gym more. No, wait. It wasn't. It was $32 and something. Was it cornbread?
Maybe it was.
May have been handies.
Find us on Twitter, Yak Babies.
I mean, I think we did decide that Dave was going to die first, right?
Email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com, patreon.com/yakbabies.
Tell a friend.
Don't.
Tell a friend. Tell no one and stop listening.
Stop listening. Yak Babies yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly, and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft. We'll be right back.
who's at the window, though? What?
Don't let a racist gnome in here.
I don't know. He's
wants something. Wait, are we going to kill it?
No, we're not going to murder the gnome.
The gnome is racist?
Well, he's a MAGA. Oh, he's a MAGA guy, yeah. He's a
Make America gnomic again.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Because I really liked the gnome for a long time. And now that I know he's a MAGA guy, I can't. It's hard.
Would that stop you from making up with him?
I wish that reaction had a sound to it.
It was like an acquiescing shrug.
Yeah, what do you say? It's got dunked on. It doesn't feel good.